الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين. بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه العفاف وفيه الجود والكرم. هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأحوال مقتحم. يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله أخرجكم من بطون أمهاتكم لا تعلمون شيئا وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة لعلكم تشكرون. صدق الله المولان العظيم. Well, I have written that when it rains and rain comes down, then the rain water falls everywhere. But according to the capability, estedad of the ground benefits differently. For example, the rainwater falls where it is rocky, stony. That ground doesn't benefit anything from the rainwater. The rainwater falls on it and just flows away. Then there is other patches of ground which are marshy, and now they become difficult to walk on, muddy. Now you slip and you can't walk on it, it's difficult. There are other pieces of ground that dam the water. They don't benefit themselves, but animals, birds, etc. come and drink from there. Then there are other pieces of ground that which are very fertile. And after the rain, they start, now things grow there. Vegetation, fruit trees, fruit, etc., wheat, maize, things start growing and people benefit from there. So similarly, now when we are in any gathering we go to, our Jum'ah bayans, any bayans, anywhere, then also Allah's rahmat is pouring down. Then we also, according to our capacity and capability, we benefit. Some of us are such that we are like that stony place, that no benefit, if according to our intention, and we didn't take any benefit. Some of us are those that with the rain fell, Allah's rahmat came. But unfortunately, because of our inherent, our heart, the way we direct our heart, we take a bad effect and we become worse. We become stuck. We can't walk properly in the path of Allah Ta'ala. There are others that become like the little dams and the pool water where it all pools in. And then others benefit, like for example, perhaps an alim also is giving a bayan, but he himself is not practicing. But other people benefit. They take advantage from there. And then there are, mashallah, those people who take the full benefit. And now things grow from them. Deen comes in them, and through them, other people also benefit. So from that, we should also see, Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali writes, that in any gathering, they are also different. There are those people who come, the year there was an announcement made, they came to know there is a gathering of deen, so they came for barakat. So they only take their barakat. There are those who come, and they come with a critical eye. And they want to see, want to gauge. We met one person, one place, and very surprising it was to me. that he said that when we go, we are fewer, a group of ours, and we spread out in the program, wherever the program. And when the speaker starts, then we look at one another and we assess him. That he, how much water is in, how lot, what's he worth, what's his value. So those people, what are they going to benefit? If we are going with that intention, there are some, one of our friends, Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali, should say, in his share only the same. When the bayan starts, his notebook is out and he notes all the mistakes. And particularly grammar mistakes, in the language mistakes. And after that he'll come and tell you that you made this mistake, you made that mistake. So Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali says, for some people that came in their share. And that to look for mistakes. So we, perhaps we come to the bayan and we are amongst those people. Then there are those people who come for the islah. And those who come with an open mind for the islah, they are the ones who benefit the most. And if we come with that knee, and even the speaker himself, if he also speaks for his own islah, he will benefit. The attitude of the speaker, if he's speaking just to tell other people, others might benefit, but he won't benefit. You have to make your own intention first, that what I'm going to speak, and inshallah you speak of Quran and Hadith. It must first have an influence on you, then it can have an influence on other people. But if it doesn't even influence you, how are you going to influence other people? So our attitude must be correct. And the bayan will come, and Allah's rahmat will come. But everyone benefits according to his capacity. Also, ulama have explained, sometimes our own du'as also, or the du'as of other people that they've made for us, but the du'a comes to you, but you don't get the benefit of the du'a. You have blocked the du'a. Like for example, somebody wants to transfer money into your account, and that person has transferred it from his side, he has done everything. But your account, something was wrong, they've closed your account. So it doesn't come into your account. Sometimes like that also, though according to our gunas and things, the du'as of the pious people, even our own du'as, we are blocking them because of our sins. So that it comes clearly that for how many people who are sick, their remedy, Allah has sent it in, it's right by their head. They can be in the ICU, anywhere, it's there. But the guna is blocking their dua from taking effect. So the dua of the buzurg has been made accepted. But you, because of our condition, we are blocking it. Somebody has got financial problems, and the duas are being made for him. And the du'as are accepted also, and they have come right to the person. But they are right by his head, but because of his condition, those du'as are blocked. So he doesn't get, so according to our condition. Some of us, domestic problems we have got, whatever type of problems. And the people are making du'a. Today, so many great people, buzurgs in the ummah, making du'a for the ummah. But the vast majority of the ummah, the lifestyle, indifferent of deen, at this time, unbelievable what type of weddings are taking place. One place, one wedding, all the Hindu customs before the wedding. Fully, according to their religious things. And then they want to come make nikah in the masjid. Now with all that, even the buzurgs making dua, but we are blocking it. So Allah give us tawfiq that we remove these blockages. Our Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Pananpuri Rahmatullah Ali used to say that you're standing on the freeway, your car is stuck. You are standing on the side and you're seeing all the cars zooming past. They're just moving and they at what speed they are going. So you are taking fault out in the car. The car hasn't got a fault. All the cars are moving. Your car, there is some blockage in the fuel pipe, you are punctured, something is wrong in your car. Correct your car, and you can also be zooming like everyone else. So the world is moving, and there are those who are going in the path of Allah, reaching Allah, as this beautiful ashar who explained last night, beautiful ashar, the position of the awliya, what great position there is. We also can be amongst them. But that blockage we have to remove. So Allah give us tawfiq that we come to bayans also and we listen with the correct intention. Then we will benefit. Otherwise, a person whole lifetime we attend bayans. We read kitabs also, even on our own. And even a kitab, we want to see what is the writer written. How much water is he in? What is this level, etc. So we'll read the whole kitab and we can become hafiz of the kitab and we won't benefit anything also. Like we see the greatest kitab, the Quran Sharif. How many people become jayyid hafiz also? But you see their life, they haven't benefited anything from the kitab, from the Quran. You see their hairstyle, how it is cut, etc. Dyed, their clothing, their jeans, their dressing, etc. Person makes 30 nights tarawih in Ramadan. And he read the Quran, but you see his life after namaz, completely different. So that is because he caused the blockage. The Quran Sharif, who can doubt all the effects of the Quran Sharif? But it did not come in him. So just the outward things, we should be careful that we get the reality of deen. Hazrat Hassan al-Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, says that in 90 places in the Quran Sharif, Allah has promised us our rosy. Allah has said in different ways, I'm responsible for your rosy. I promise you your rosy. You don't have to work for your rosy. I'm promising it. 90 places. And Allah is the absolute truth. Allah is haqqul mubeen. Allah is the truth who makes the truth manifest and known. And Allah has promised, and in the Quran Sharif Allah has promised. One place, Shaitan has promised, inna shaytana ya'idukumul faqr. He promises you poverty. And Shaitan is a liar. Shaitan is our enemy. But we believe in him. All the time we are fearing poverty will come to me. I must make this investment. I must get that education. Whether it is a jais or najais education. Whether it's a permissible procedure, impermissible. But I have to do it to get my rosy. One place only, Shaitan, who is our enemy, who is our liar. He promised us a fear. And when a person has this fear, and all the time he's just working, Allah writes faqr on his forehead. Poverty for you. No matter what you do, you can't come out of it. And 90 places, if we put our trust in Allah who is our, who desires our good. ذَلِكَ يُخَوِّفُ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَ يَا عِبَادِي فَاتَّقُونَ. Allah said, my bandas, you fear me. I'm warning you so that you don't come in harm. You don't fall into difficulty. I'm warning you. Fear me. So Allah wishes our good. Our great Allahu waliyul ladina amanu. Allah is the friend of the believers. And Allah is the absolute truth. 90 places Allah's promise, we don't have trust on that. And that is me and you who are sitting here. Not talking of the other non-believers, etc. They are out of the question. They are worse than animals also. And not talking of those people who are not interested in coming to masjid, in coming to dini programs and to come for majalis, etc. We haven't got trust in that word of Allah. And when a person puts his trust in Allah, wherever he goes, Allah makes the arrangement for him. And in ajeeb and fascinating and with great respect and honor, people will come up to you and they'll beg you that please accept this from us. It will be our honor that you accept it from us. We put our trust in Allah. So Allah save us from having fear of this faqr, poverty. And Shaitan has promised that. And Shaitan is a liar and he's our enemy. And he's putting this fear. We listen to him. And 90 places where Allah has promised us, we don't listen to Allah. Allah give us tawfiq. Presently, we know in the world generally, this effort of the evil people who are worse than animals also, and want to make people also like animals. And what is carrying on at the moment to all this rainbow colors and all this lesbianism and homosexuality which they are promoting, and few basic things of this which they have, that a person is born with that instinct. A person has got the desire, he is born with the, and it is more prominent in him that he just inclines to man, a male inclines to a male, or a female inclines to a female. So they are born with it, so you can't do anything about it, so you have to allow it. And now they're passing laws. They want the governments of the world to also pass it, and in fact they are all passing it also, all the countries of the world. that person, he is free. What he wants to do, it's his choice. He wants to live like that. Nobody can stop him. And they are promoting that also. And another thing of theirs, that every person has got desires. And you can't suppress the desires of a person. You must allow him to express and do what he feels like doing. So that is basically what the whole philosophy is on. And we can see so easily what the wrong thing they are promoting, how stupid it is. Not only according to clear-cut teachings of Deen, Quran Sharif and Hadith, but even logic. Where even logic is amazed at what they are doing. Like for example, today we find many mujtahids also. The doors of ijtihad are closed. So you can't become a mujtahid. The doors are closed. You have to become a muqallid, but you don't become a muqallid. So you're not a muqallid also, you didn't become a mujtahid also. La ilaha ula wa la ilaha ula. You are nowhere now. You gave up its taqlid and you want to make ijtihad, and the doors of ijtihad are closed. So you are just lost like that. So these people also, what is reality also they don't follow. What is common sense also they don't follow. Completely lost cases. Which the Quran Sharif beautifully says, Ulaika kal an'am bal hum adal. These are like animals, and even worse than animals. When Allah revealed this ayat, animals also complained to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, how could you compare these evil people to us? Animals also, and today that is what we have become. We are going to see animals. Like they are big buzurg. And we, insan, ashraful makhlukat, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمٍ. And they're going to see animals. We became worse than them also. So this is what our condition is, where we have brought ourselves to. So anyway, so in this ayat kareema, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala explains, وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. Allah explains this in the sequence of the ayat, where Allah is explaining His favors upon us and His great qudrat also. Allah's great, great qudrat, how He made a baby in the womb of the mother. And then how He takes the baby out, makes it to come out. And the favors of Allah, that how Allah created in the womb of the mother, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. How Allah and يَخْلُقُكُمْ, Allah keeps on creating. It's continuous, it's a continuous process. A continuous process for every child also. Embryo. The sperm of the father that goes in the womb of the mother. It's impure sperm, dirt, filth. Then Allah changes it into blood. And then it becomes a piece of blood, of meat. And then the whole meat is formed. Then Allah puts the bones in it. And then Allah puts in the eyes on their places. Allah puts the heart on its place. Many times, still today, operations that take place, sometimes they forgot to stitch up something in the person. They call him back. Sometimes they leave, like the scissors or something, they leave it in the body. And they have to again, Allah didn't make any mistake. How Allah has made, what is the qudrat of Allah? This human being, the child, يَخْلُقُكُمْ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ خَلْقًا مِنْ بَعْدِ خَلْقٍ, stage after stage. فِي ظُلُمَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ, in three layers of darkness. Allah's factory, there is no problem. All the load shedding and all the lights are gone. Allah's load shedding is from before. Three load shedding. And in that Allah creates, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. What is the qudrat of Allah? In all the odds, from the most dirtiest, filthiest thing, and that also is made from mud, from sand, by which things grow. The parents eat it, then it becomes blood in their body, it becomes sperm, and then that sperm now, and from that sperm, from where you were, Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbikal kareem. What has put you in deception of your Rabbir kareem? الذي خلقك فسواك فعدلك في أي سورة ما شاء ركبك. الله أكبر. Allah's qudrat is so manifest. So the qudrat of Allah. And Allah is creating not only the child in stages, 250 according to present day statistics, 250,000 babies are born a day in the world. So unless 250,000 factories are operating all the time, not only this one baby, but all the time, and Allah will carry on. Whether it was lockdown and social distancing, so all maternity homes had to be closed. After 9 months, no babies will be born, all social distancing. But the social distancing is only for namaz, and it's only in the masjid, nowhere else. It's social distancing, but it's a religious distancing. It means husband and wife mustn't also come close to one another. So from where all the babies are still coming, and the maternity homes, and in fact, now twins are being born everywhere. Not only one, but twins are being born everywhere. So anyway, so Allah's this great qudrat, Allah's favors also, and Allah's great qudrat, and reality also. Now Allah Ta'ala took you out from the wombs of your mothers. Wallahu akhrajakum min butuni ummahati la ta'lamuna shay'a. You knew nothing when you were born. You were completely jahil, ignorant. You knew nothing. You didn't know alif ba. You didn't know a b. You didn't know 1, 2. You knew nothing whatsoever you were born. So according to their philosophy, that you were born, naturally you are ignorant. So stay ignorant. The person who's got inclination, a male to a male, so he must be allowed. A person who's got inclination, female to female, so she must be allowed that. So you are born ignorant, so stay ignorant also. That is how you are born. You are born ignorant. So you must stay ignorant also. But Allah Ta'ala says in front, وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَ. Allah gave you all the instruments of acquiring knowledge. Allah made your hearing, your seeing, and your heart, your mind. Allah gave you. Allah made all those things. And with that now, what you see, as you hear this thing's name, this is now my ummi, my mother. And you see her picture and it registers on your mind. This is my abi, my abba, my father, and you see it. It registers. Now you're gaining knowledge all the time. Everything you start gaining, Allah gave you the means of acquiring knowledge. So one is that a person, ulama have written, that if how we are, and we just remain like that, then we will go to deterioration. If you don't make effort in the right direction, for example, our bodies also. When we were born, then they gave us a bath. If we remain on that and we say, no more we have to bath now, no more we have to change clothes, what will happen? Our houses, you have a show house, the best house in the town, but one day you don't maintain it and the dust and the dirt starts accumulating. Your garden, you won the prize in your whole neighborhood, you got the best garden. But if you don't maintain it, even one day you don't maintain it, then you find your swimming pool sparkling blue, but you don't maintain it, everything. And in order to destroy something, all you have to do, don't maintain it. So if you want to destroy the child who came, la ta'alamun, that he knew nothing whatsoever. So just don't make any effort of education on the child. And that child will be completely destroyed. On his health, don't make any effort on his health. On his body, don't wash it, don't change the clothes, and the child will be your house, your car, your swimming pool. Just leave it like that. So we see that you have to make an effort. So it does not mean that you came and when we were born, we were poor. We owned nothing whatsoever. We had not a cent to our credit when we were born. So remain poor. That is how you came, according to their logic, how you came naturally. So you must stay like that. You must be allowed to stay like that. So you must stay poor your whole life. So one is that you have to make an effort and the right effort. And if in order to destroy anything, one simple way, just don't make any effort on that thing. And it will get destroyed on its own. Then the other is that previously it was that there were no places where wrong effort is made on a person. Where a person is taught how to become a thief, how to become a murderer, how to become all the other evil qualities. But today is the time when the evil is taught, and it's taught formally, whether it is in schools, whether it is in colleges, universities. Now it is taught in a sophisticated, in a covered, in a sugar-coated way. That evil is taught, and it is just covered with the name of education, and with the name of earning a rosy, earning your livelihood. But actually, it is now, as I explained, that you came naturally as you were. If you stay like that, no effort, you will go to destruction. If you make the right effort, you will become a human being. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. You will make shukr to Allah. And if you make the wrong effort, now your own body, one is if you don't bath, you're going to become dirty. But now you take dirt and throw on yourself. You're doing that effort of dirtying yourself. One is you don't eat the right food from the time of infancy, milk, etc., all the right food that is not given, the child is going to be destroyed, malnutrition. He's not going to have the right vitamins, it must have a proper balance, the right food. But now you're giving the wrong food. For example, you're giving poison to the first child, what's going to happen? And which we are doing, and willingly, all this junk food, etc. And we call it junk food. We are being made so stupid. And all these people, and this is not now any hidden thing, it isn't a conspiracy, it isn't just an accusation, but go and see the Jewish protocols, protocols of the Zionists, and many of the other meetings which they have printed their books and are available. On the internet they are available, hard copies are available at bookshops, and clearly they have said in their meetings that whoever will follow our way, that is the way of the scientists, the way of the medical people, the way of the politicians, the way of the media, the corporate media, the mainstream media, in there clearly they say those who will follow our ways, they are the herd, they are the goyim, the scum, and they are the herd, just the animals, they are the sheep, they are the cattle. And then further, clearly they say, they are the stupid idiots who will pay us to exterminate them. This is what they're saying clearly. And this person following in their ways, he's proud that we are very clever. And the people who are not following this are irresponsible people. People who are murderers, people who are committing suicide. And we are the very clever people. Whereas they themselves, their guru and their leader, they are describing them as the herd, as the animals. Now that wrong education and that wrong indoctrination, what will happen of a person? A person in his body, if you see your little child, he's got a nail, he's got a knife, you get worried, he's going to cut himself. But now you give him a knife. And you give him all dangerous things to play with, and he pokes himself with it. What's going to happen? This is exactly what, unfortunately, me and you are doing. And we are submitting to this whole system, and we are accepting it. And if we did not know, we had no guidance, then perhaps we were excused, perhaps. But when we have got Quran and Hadith, and we got the leadership of the Quran and the Hadith, and we put that one side, and we follow the wrong things like this, in which they clearly say that we are out to exterminate you, and we will make you pay us to exterminate you. And you're still proud of it, as somebody defined diplomacy, is to send somebody to hell in such a way that he thanks you for the journey. That Jazakallah, you're sending me to hell. The total open destruction we are being put on. And we are regarding it as a great achievement. And we're thinking we are very clever and doing the work of the atheists, of the shaitans, scientists, and all these people, we're doing their work. And we regard that as how we're going to get saved. And all they did is by one simple way. The first thing they told, that don't panic. And then they put panic in you. With the pandemic, they put panic in you. And when a person is frightened, he's prepared to do anything. A person who is drowning will catch on to a little twig also. A little straw. He'll hold on to a straw. Where can the straws? But when you are frightened, which is common also, very common that when our girls are expecting delivery, they put fear in them that this is going wrong, that is, you have to do a Caesar. If you don't do a Caesar, and you have to do it immediately, if you don't do it by tomorrow, then there's great danger for the mother, for the baby. And many who went through it, they didn't have that fear. Normal, natural birth, and normal their lives also are. But the way they put the fear in us, the minute fear comes in a person, no, we have to do the Caesar. We can see it, otherwise great danger for us. And many other things, many operations also, they put fear in you, then they told you stay calm, don't get frightened, and don't panic. But they make sure they put, and this is what deen, if our yaqeen is built, we won't go into this panic mode. We won't have this fear. But when we haven't got there, then easily we just go into the panic mode. And then we just also succumb to them. Whatever then they dictate to us, we do everything. And we do the most stupid things also after that. And whether it is a financial matter, whether it's a legal matter, the way they will put fear in you about the matter, that if you don't do this, this will... But we have seen over and over, especially in the lives of our pious elders, who are not alims also. In the families, many of us know, but their yaqeen was made. Their trust was on Allah Ta'ala. All these things, they say, just brush it. Like Mullah Umar, when they told him that America is coming with the alliance, 50 countries are coming more or less. He didn't pay any attention to it. Nothing whatsoever. And he said, oh, just a cursory remark. He said, oh, tell all of them to come one time. Instead of us fighting one and then sorting them out, tell them all to come one time, we'll sort them all out once. When Iman is there. And this effort we are not making. The effort of Iman, we are negligent. We are talking about Iman, but Iman is not even going below our tongue. It's not even going down our throat. We are just talking of Iman. And then we ourselves, we are doing social distancing. We are talking about Iman, we got the masks on. And we are talking about Iman. So just the talk of Iman is not enough. One great alim, who is an Irani alim, Sunni, our people, and he's in the Merkaz in Raiwin. He came here before a few years, about 4 or 5 years ago. And that time he also came just after Ramadan. So he said that every year I go to Afghanistan before Ramadan. And I see the conditions and I meet with all the people. And he's got good contact with all the people in Afghanistan. The madaris which are carrying on, etc. In fact, with regard to that, as it is said, that the people, the non-believers of the West, America, etc. And unfortunately, the Muslims who got the mindset of those people, they regard the Afghani human as backward, stupid, ignorant, stone age human. But those same human defeated, they are the ones who defeated the America with its alliance, with all its 50 NATO countries, with all destroyed them. And with what? With Iman, the power of Iman. They instilled that into their children. Trust in Allah. Have no fear whatsoever. And they also said the Afghani woman, their conviction was our success. And that was the word. And till today, our Jamaat brothers, this is the word. Our success is in Quran and Hadith. Allah's command, Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had that conviction. And they made their children alims and hafiz. They didn't teach them any sciences, geography, history, all the other things they didn't teach them. And those people who were proficient in those things, who were masters in that field, with this knowledge of Quran and Hadith, they completely destroyed, annihilated that army. So this is the power. And the Quran Sharif, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ وَيْلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٍ. In another place, قَالَ that I will come with the throne of Bilqis, the person who had knowledge. So these are the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. But unfortunately, we also believe that their false teachings, their wrong teachers, their harmful teachings, in there is our success. This is our conviction also. So anyway, this alim said that I go there and after seeing all that, when we were sitting in the mashura in Raiwin, I put a point forward and everyone raised their heads. and looked at me. What are you saying? He said, to learn the words of Iman, we must call people to Raimi. And to learn Iman, send them to Afghanistan. He says, I saw with my eyes that the bullets are coming. And young boys, everyone, they're just moving. And the bullets, they're not afraid. If we live, we will defeat them. If we die, we're successful. We become shaheed. With that conviction they have got in their heart. So the real Iman, that is what is required. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand this way of theirs, that all that a person is born with an instinct, so he must be allowed to. We know our children. The children have got greed in them. For example, their toys they have, they don't want any other children to share it. And they, when they go by somebody, they want those toys also. They got stinginess in them. Their toys, they don't want to share it with anyone. These children, they have got this bad habit of fighting. Siblings, a common thing. Many mothers say also, now just leave me, kill yourselves. The way they are fighting with one another. The children coming all the time. This one did that. That one did that. So that means according to their philosophy, everyone must be left like that. They say also corporal punishment for the children, etc. That must be removed. Hadith teaches it so beautiful. Keep the whip hanging. They didn't say use the whip. Just keep it hanging. It's a great deterrent. In our country now, if they make the law that for murder you will be hung, life will be taken. Just that law will cut the murders by 75-90%, it will cut it down. This is that how Islam teaches us that don't light the fire and warns us of all the harm. They teach light the fire but don't get burned. Once we were in Belgium in Jamaat, we were doing Gush and we passed by a place where there were little children having a sand bath. And 3-4 year olds, boys and girls hugging one another, exploring one another's bodies. What will happen? When you're putting all their seeds, then what is going to happen? Islam teaches, keep the boys and girls separately. And wherever a woman has to emerge, she emerges properly in her parda. The man has to emerge, watch your gaze. From the time you leave your house, not when you look at a woman, keep your gaze down from the beginning, that you are not going to look. How Islam is protected, all the rules that a man will come to the masjid and make namaz, woman will make at home, keep them separately, even in their ibadah. Once, very long ago, in the 70s, there was an article in a newspaper that the person in the church who plays the piano or something, he made a statement and he said, we must follow the Muslim way of praying that the woman must stay at home, that they must not come. He said, what I see, what's happening in the church, in the congregation between the man and woman. So the pastor, the priest replied and said, you play your piano, don't worry what's happening here. So this is their condition. But what is our condition? One may masjid in the Joburg area, broader Joburg area, in the same period. In Ramadan, 15th night, there was a shooting incident outside the masjid because of boys and girls, all this boyfriend, girlfriend thing. So also that masjid, women, females are allowed to come to the masjid. And this all happens, it happens, it is haram, it happens in the wrong places, it's haram also. But it's happening in the masjid. And in the name of deen, it's happening. How much more serious it is done. It happens. So Allah make us understand. So all this wrong system that you have an inclination, you can't just follow your... And this is what Quran Sharif clearly has stated by naql, by command of Allah Ta'ala. The people of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, the evil of sodomy and homosexuality, what punishment. And they were given such a punishment that they were picked up from the ground, raised into the air and thrown down, upside down. Because they did an upside down act of man with man. So they were given that worst type of punishment and a terrible punishment. And all, we are prohibited for a man to behave like a woman. and a woman to behave like a man, whether it is in our dressing or anything else also, completely. And with them all, this mixing up of things. So they are doing everything wrong according to clear. And what is Allah's command? Allah is a reality. And Allah's command are a reality. And all their things are just theories. No matter what is the thinking of man. And everyone knows that he makes so much mistakes. All the time we make mistakes. Big accidents take place because of our mistakes. We all have to accept human error is everywhere. But we're basing the whole law on that which is based on human error, where the component of human error is so prominent, but we pull our foot trust. And Allah's laws, there can be no error whatsoever. It can't move one bit to the front or to the back, to the top or to the bottom. It's 100% Allah. And Allah's Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his laws are 100%. And those people, Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, these were the people whom Allah chose for the companionship of his Nabi. Where Allah Ta'ala said, for example, in the whole life, one aspect, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You won't be able to achieve goodness until you don't spend of that which you love. And how many incidents of that? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to go and buy sugar and give it to the poor people. So somebody told him, if you give them flour, if you give them maize, if you give them basic food stuffs, that will be more beneficial. I also know that. But unless they tell you don't spend what you love, I love sugar. So Hazrat Shaykh say, these people, how they followed the Quran to the T, that they didn't use their brains also. That what Allah has said, that is, and Allah made them so. Nowhere in the world till today, put away all Islamic literature and all Quran, Hadith, from their literature, tell them to show somebody more successful as the Sahaba. Where the Sahaba reached, how conquered Mecca without a drop of blood. They control the lives of people without any force or anything. Not how they for everything now, this punishment. You don't wear the mask, 20,000 rand. You don't do this punishment. You go to jail without any such thing. In about the 1940s, America tried also to abolish alcohol in their country. And they passed the laws that alcohol can't be, is not allowed, all the details. After a certain period, they surveyed again, and they found in the period that it was restricted, more alcohol was consumed than it was when it was free. On the other hand, in Madinatul Munawwara, when alcohol was restricted, and the gradual process which Allah had put also, finally when it was restricted, the person who had alcohol in his hand dropped it. Who had it to his lips dropped it. Who had it in his mouth threw it out. Alcohol flowed on the gullies of Medina Sharif like a storm when there is a big storm, and the storm water is flowing on the street like that. The alcohol was flowing. People who had alcohol, old alcohol, which it is said that the older the alcohol, the more valuable, the more delicious. But all that, they just threw it away. What was this iman that was built? So we need this iman. It clearly stated that if we have, you have the fear of Allah, you will fear nothing. Allah will remove the fear of everything from your heart. And if we don't have the fear of Allah, we will fear everything. We will fear the pandemic, we will fear the government, we will fear the criticisms of people, what people are going to say, we will fear everything. I mustn't get the virus, and I mustn't touch here. You become like a funny, stupid person, the way you behave, how you carry on, just because of, and if you don't have fear, you have trust in Allah, you are a brave person. And it's not you. You are nothing. But Allah's full support with you. And Allah gives you strength in your heart. Allah gives you strength in your words. Everything, Allah is with you. So Allah give us tawfiq. When Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam made this effort, he produced such a people that Allahu Akbar. He over 63 years of his life, And when at the end now, when Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam came to that stage, his house was attached to the masjid. But he became so ill that he couldn't go to the masjid also. He asked the curtain to be moved. And he saw his sahaba making namaz. He became so happy. His face was radiant, beautiful enjoyment that my sahaba, they are all making namaz. They didn't say that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam not coming to the masjid, so now we close the masjid. How we for just small, one pipsqueak coming on the screen, and he makes some announcement, and before that we are proud. And we say we close the masjid 5 days before the government. And we go to court cases to keep the masjids closed. And we clearly say there that not on my dead body, not one person will I allow. And no remorse, no realization of the wrong. This is how when the parda falls on the mind, we do the worst, closing the masajid. And we still maintain it's the right thing. And till now we also still say that if it happens again we'll close the masjid. We don't take our lessons once bitten, twice shy. We don't take our lessons, we still carry on like that. This is Nabi Sallam, they didn't say that we now Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam can't come. Now all his teachings also finished, we also no more coming masjid. No, they were there. And they performed their namaz also shoulder to shoulder. And what is shoulder to shoulder? Not even 1 millimeter gap between. You must be touching the shoulder. That is how they were making. And that is what made Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam happy. Not that we say that you must be united, but we dividing everyone. They must stand 0.5 meter apart. And some places we're standing up to 2-3 meters apart. And when we are eating, just before namaz, no social distancing, no mask. As soon as you want to make namaz, even if it's not in the masjid, in somebody's house or somewhere, now immediately social distancing. Where's the logic also? And all these laws which they are making, and all the restrictions, and more than what even the government, this is when the parda falls on the head, we become worse. Removing the masjid from the Quran Sharif from the masjid, taking out the musallas, coming with your, closing the toilets, wuzu khanas we are closing, and what socks you must have on. What funny laws which not even the government is enforcing, and we enforce all this. All this comes when we turn away from the commands of Allah. So Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam saw that my sahaba, the greatest thing of namaz, they are performing it with jamaat in the masjid, according to the teachings of Allah and on my teaching, sunnah they are making. This was making Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam happy, not all the other filth and dirty things. And for that, we have to use the correct method in order to promote the deen. The deen can never be promoted with the wrong way. A person's niyat must be correct also. If the niyat is not right, if it is your own glory you want, and your own name and fame you want, deen won't even use the right method. It must be with sincerity, and with sincerity the method also must be right. If the method is wrong, for example, one person where the rich people were not giving the paying their zakat. So he was sincere 100% that why aren't he? So he went and robbed the rich people and took out only the exact zakat amount from them. And he didn't keep 1 cent for himself, distributed it all to the poor people. So his niyat was 100% correct, his method was wrong. You can't go and rob the people of their zakat, and then you are so sincere that you don't even keep 1 cent for yourself, you give it all to the poor. So the promotion of deen. Hazrat Maulana Taqi Usmani explained that he was with Hazrat Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh in some meeting in Islamabad with the government. They had a meeting and many things were being discussed. In there it was said to Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayh that what you are saying, your bayan is so effective. If you will come on TV and the people of the world, Pakistan, will listen to it, it will have such an immense effect. Hazrat immediately declined. He said, you cannot spread deen with the haram, in a haram method, with photos and on the TV, with the videos and the YouTube and all that. Deen will not spread. Maulana Ilyas Sahib, rahmatullah, he said, if you spread deen through with any other wrong means, technology, whatever else, that will spread, but deen won't spread. For deen, the proper method that has to be. If we want to spread deen, all our intention is 100% good, that we want the youth to come, and they love their soccer, and all that, so we arrange a soccer tournament for them. And they come, and our idea is to give deeni talks to them, and that they will make namaz also. But soccer will spread, deen won't spread. And we take girls out for excursion, young girls without mahrams, and there also all deeni talks we're going to give. We go to a resort, etc. And we talk about deen to the girls all the time. We make them make their namaz also. We're using the wrong method, deen won't spread. Excursions will spread. So to spread deen, we have to use the correct methods also. Then when deen, and the correct method, and the greatest is sacrifice and qurbani. The more the sacrifice and qurbani, the more deen will spread. One jamaat in about the 60s went to Japan. And that was the time when throughout even America, Europe, to meet Muslim people was very, very difficult. What the jamaat used to do in those days, they used to go to the airport or wherever, at the hotels where they had to stay. No masjids also. They take the telephone directory and go through it and look for a Muslim name. And then try and contact that person. In that they had to travel perhaps 200 kilometers to the east, 800 kilometers to the west, another 1,000 kilometers to the north. Somebody told them that your 40 days you came to spend, and when you reach the people, they are doing two jobs a day. Three jobs a day. And we say that those are advanced countries where you can't even have time to sleep. You haven't got time for yourself. You are just earning, and all this earning also, just they know that you will earn biggest it will be. But how they will just take it out from this premium and that payment, and at the end you stay with nothing. So anyway, you won't be able to meet anyone. We will arrange for you to come 40 minutes on TV. And in 40 minutes you will address the whole nation. The Muslims also, non-Muslims, and you can explain your 6 points. It appears very nice. They said it appears nice, but we will make mashura. And this is when we are guided, Allah guides you to take the correct procedure. So they contact the elders, and then it was the time of Maulana Yusuf Kandelvi rahmatullahi, told them never ever do that. Because what comes on TV, there is a TV actor who is there. And what comes on a film screen is a film actor. And by acting, acting will come alive. Deen won't come alive. Even if people, it appears they are on deen, they will be acting. The reality of deen won't come. So don't ever. And if you, for example, they gave them this example, that Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and that lady with her children on the outskirts of Medina, she was there and they were not having food, they were having difficulty. And she was saying that, I will complain to Allah about the Amirul Mu'mineen, he doesn't look after us. When Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to know, he took the flower on his back and he walked. He didn't allow his khadim, his servant, to carry the flower. He says, I will have to answer to Allah. And Amirul Mu'mineen, state president, prime minister of the country, he is carrying flower on his back. And he is going to a camp in the desert. And he is cooking the food. And so much so that the smoke is going through his beard also, which you can see. And he prepares the food. Who will believe this? These are all TV stories. These are all actors who do that. And so when they will see it on the TV screen, they will think it is all acting. But when they will see, when you come, once we were in Indonesia on our safar, and one lady who was translating for APA, she just could not understand. You have come only for deen, not sightseeing, not meeting your family, not nothing else. Only, it doesn't make sense to the people. But when they see it's happening, jamaats who come, the Lahore jamaat is here now, Masturat jamaat, and in these conditions, when they were stopping them from leaving Pakistan, but they put their trust in Allah, and they came, and then you can see that they are for deen, then deen will come alive. But when we are doing this thing and we are trusting on other things, then anything else will become alive. So it's very, very important that this whole of this evil of this LGBT and whatever else it is, we are aware, and very important our children, we inform them. The schooling, do homeschooling. and monitor that also. Even if it is homeschooling, monitor it. And as long as they are going to the other school, it's the absolute farz of the parents to undo the harm what is being done there. And if we don't, they are teaching them, and our children are convinced of Darwin's theory of every boy got a girlfriend, he's got 2-3 girlfriends. And every girl has got 2-3 boyfriends. And all this life of this, abortions which are taking place, now in primary school girls, high school girls, it's swept under the carpet. There is that the respect of the family, it's not spoken. But all this, if we don't undo it on the day of Qiyamah, be sure that your children will hold you by your neck and tell you and bring you to Allah. That our parents allowed this. They send us, forced us to go to school and learn all this evil and that evil environment again. So this schooling must be done correctly. Do homeschooling. Monitor it also. And even then, this dunya's education, understand it can come never to the ta'aleem of Quran and Hadith. All of it, even in a halal way, now it's being done. Secular education is totally haram. In that haram way, there is no question. Even if it is done properly, dunya's education is necessary. We need food to eat. We need a house to stay. We need cars to travel in. But it must be done correctly. But then too, it comes nowhere near Quran and Hadith ta'aleem. So Allah, give us the proper understanding of our deen and our responsibility. And each one of us, we are responsible for ourselves first. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum, and your family. Our children, they are learning all the wrong things. And we are just too happy with our cell phones, with our outings and our parties. And we're going to what limits in our haram things. And we're not worried of our children and what they are doing. We are happy to put them to watch cartoons on the TV and to play some games, etc. And we also watch all our games, and every game and these cartoons have got Satanism to the full in them. It is all just a sugar-coated thing. Looks very nice on the outside, but total, not only haram, our aqidahs are being destroyed completely. Allah guide us to righteousness and accept us for His deen, inshallah.